Yo, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Isaiah K Podcast, tapping in. So I wanted to come on, this episode not gonna be too long. Wanted to hit on, obviously, a big trade happening that just went down in the NFL. I figured I'd come on and cover that and talk about that. But first and foremost, I'm your humble and highly favorite host, Isaiah Kidd of the Isaiah Kidd Podcast. Shouts out to everyone that is listening. Greatly, greatly appreciate all the support, all of the listens, all of the, you know, people that, you know, take the time to listen to the pod or whatever, share the pod, share with a friend, share with a foe. So let's just get right into it. Big time trade happened in the NFL, and I've been telling you guys, the NFL offseason. I remember when the NBA offseason used to be crazy, you know, stars moving place to place. And NBA offseason was just full of drama and full of just transactions and player movement. Well, the NFL has taken that, ran with it, and it's like it's not even an offseason in terms of me talking about NFL or having NFL content to cover and talk about, because time and time again, we get free agency, we get the firing and hiring of coaches, then we get the free agency period. Then in between free agency, teams make a lot of moves, you know, according, you know, properly, trying to properly get themselves prepared for the draft and so forth. So it's just a whole lot. So the biggest trade or the big trade that has gone down of recent news is Stephon Diggs gets traded to the Texans. Now, you guys are not going to believe this. I had a source about a month ago. It was the first, I actually got this source. It was the same day of the start of free agency. I had a source, I had a little birdie tell me that Stephon Diggs wants to be traded, and he's going to be traded to the Houston Texans. Now, take that as you may, right? But that was the information that was given to me about a month ago. Like I said, it was literally the start of NFL free agency. I got that news. Now, my source also went into depth as to what happened. Now, there seems to be a divide. There has seemed to be a divide on two things. First, the utilization and how Stephon Diggs was being utilized within the Buffalo Bills offense. Hint, hint, you know, that's kind of pointing to some of the struggles that a lot of people were kind of talking about because, I mean, let's be honest, Stephon Diggs, the second half of the season, I'm not going to say he was a no-show, but his involvement within the offense was just a difference. You saw the difference. And part of that, Joe Brady, the new offensive coordinator that took over midway through the season, we saw a philosophy change in Buffalo. We definitely did. Now, was it for the better? Was it for the worse? I don't know. I don't know if we could properly say that at this moment. Granted, they still end up losing in the second round, in the divisional round, the playoffs, right? So we can't really base it on the result. But there was definitely a change. There was a change in philosophy in terms of how Buffalo and what they did offensively. There was a change. And then also, it was this notion that Josh Allen... That's the first part. And then the second part is the notion that I think that Josh Allen... And this is, like I said, this is a core organizational issue. So this is just what I was told. That Diggs felt like Josh Allen, not that he got too much credit, but I think Diggs wanted people to remember that, hey, before I arrived here in Buffalo, Josh Allen was not in these elite conversations that he's in now. And I think Stephon Diggs kind of felt belittled, kind of felt devalued by the fact that people were now putting Josh Allen on this pedestal. And I'm not talking about media members. I'm talking about this is organizational. This is people within the organization that put Josh Allen on this pedestal. And I think Stephon Diggs kind of felt a bit slighted because he was like, wait, Josh Allen's ascension and his ascension to being an elite quarterback, it correlates and it intersects when I arrive here. And I think that was the two key issues that I was told by a reliable source. That was the issue with Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. Take that as you may. Those were the two issues. He didn't feel like he was being properly utilized. And I'm, like I said, hinting back to the second half of the season. And then also, he probably felt a bit slighted. Not by media members, not what the media may say, but in terms of the organizational structure and how things were. He felt as such that Josh Allen was being put on a pedestal. Josh Allen was being mapped out as this hero, as Superman. But Diggs, like, I mean, well, his ascension as an elite quarterback, it correlates with the time where I arrived in Buffalo. And I don't think Stephon Diggs is like, I made Josh Allen. I don't think that's his sentiment. But from what I can get, from the read that I got from my source, it's the fact that I think people within the Buffalo organization, I think they tend to forget that, hey, Josh didn't start putting up these Josh-type numbers, and he didn't become Josh, the Josh Allen that we all know and admire, until Stephon Diggs got there. I think that was the issue. That is word to mouth from my source. A reliable one. So, this situation has been brewing for some time. This Stephon Diggs trade doesn't come out of left field. Let me let you guys know that too. Like, it does not come out of left field. And I mean, I think there's multiple indicators that points to that being true. But as I told you guys, this trade was already kind of mapped out and planned out a month in advance. Because if I knew about it a month in advance, I'm sure the organization, this is something that's been talked about around the organization. I'm sure it was very much on the table and a possibility if I knew in a month in advance. Little old me. But I'm going to break down this whole situation. And obviously, with Buffalo, it's a blow. It's a huge blow. Now, we're going to talk about to what degree. And they have lost a number of impact guys on offense and mainly defense, especially in that secondary. They've lost some impactful guys, some impactful players, some guys that's been a part of that core group that's been trying to get over that hump and get into the Super Bowl. And then with Houston, you got a young emerging team in Houston with CJ Stroud at the helm at quarterback, D'Amico Ryans as the head coach. And Houston, these past two off seasons, it seems as if they have killed it. And now they, in a really competitive and deep AFC conference, they seem to be one of those teams that you have to name in terms of, well, what team can compete with Kansas City? Obviously, you think of Baltimore, you think of Cincinnati with a healthy Joe Burrow. Houston, I think, is going to be in that class. They are positioning, they have positioned themselves to be in that tier. So we'll break it down. Now let's get into the details of the deal. Stephon Diggs was traded to the Houston Texans. Obviously, the Bills, along with Stephon Diggs, they gave up in exchange for a fifth rounder, and a sixth rounder, I think. Yeah, a sixth rounder and a fifth rounder. A 2025 fifth rounder in exchange for a second round pick. So Buffalo, they get a second round pick. Houston gets Diggs, and a couple of day three picks or whatever. So let's start with Buffalo. I know there's going to be a group of people that is going to count on Buffalo because they look at, okay, well, Buffalo, what have they done this offseason? They've lost a lot of impact players on both offense and defense, right? More so the defense, where, you know, they lost a lot of those veteran second, those veteran older secondary guys that were first. Couple of them were a little bit expensive and injury prone and so forth. I think with Jordan Poyer, Buffalo would love to keep him, but he was just too expensive. He was making too much money. He was just too expensive. He was a cap casualty, right? You know, sometimes dudes don't get cut because they're not good enough or the team doesn't want them. No, Buffalo really, like, for, I'm just using Jordan Poyer as example. They wanted Jordan Poyer. They would have loved to keep Jordan Poyer, but they couldn't afford him because now Josh Allen money, his money rolls in and the books kind of get tight. Salary cap gets a little tight. But I know I've seen a lot of people, well, the Bills Super Bowl window is closed. And granted, I'm not going to say it's closed, but it is very narrow. It was already, you know, some people after, you know, because the Bills year after year over the past 3-4 years with Stephon Diggs and, you know, this that core that they have had, they have been knocking at the door. They have been the AFC Championship game. They, you know, they've been in multiple nail biters versus the Chiefs. You know, a couple unfortunate losses. They had the loss at home to Cincinnati a couple years back. And then obviously this past year, they couldn't get over the hump over Kansas City. So they've been knocking at the door. And granted, I'm not going to just go out on the limb and say, man, the Bills are going to, they're going to be in the AFC Championship game. No, I'm not going to go that far. They may not be, their ceiling this particular year may not be as high as it has been over the past 3 or 4 years, but who's to say they still can't win the AFC East? I mean, are you going to bet against them in the AFC East still? Like, are we that confident in the Jets? Granted, I like a lot about the Jets, right? I think they did fill a lot of their holes and needs, especially on the offensive line. But a lot of the guys that they're relying on are older and injury prone. I mean, for God's sake, Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old coming off a torn Achilles. Now, granted, the torn Achilles injury, it's something that it used to be a career killer. When you went 10, 15, 20 years ago, you tore your Achilles, you weren't going to bounce back. Used to be a career killer. Now we've seen, you know, a number of athletes, a handful of athletes come back from torn Achilles injuries, and they look pretty well. They look pretty good, right? May not have the same mobility, same agility, but they're still really good. For instance, Kevin Durant, right? Still one of the best, if not the best scorer in basketball, right? One of the most efficient scorers in basketball, even after the Achilles injury. So I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be Aaron Rodgers, but even before the Achilles injury, there was people questioning, like, is Aaron elite? There was people still questioning, is Aaron elite? Because his last year in Green Bay wasn't elite. It was okay. He was good, right? So that's still a question mark. They signed guys like Tyron Smith and Mike Williams. Once again, I think it feels needs that they needed, but are we really gonna bet on Mike Williams playing 17 games? My bet, he plays around 10 to 12 games. he's gonna miss a few games. Tyron Smith, as a fellow Cowboy fan, I will tell you, really productive. He had a really good year this past year. But how likely is it that he plays 17 games? Highly, highly unlikely. So I'm not going to put all my eggs in the basket in the Jets. I'm just not. I can't. I can't. I just can't. New England, I think they're headed for some dark times, New England. I'm sorry. I know Patriot fans probably hate. I know they probably hate when I talk about them. Because And it's not nothing against the Patriots, but it's just reality. First year head coach, kind of a question mark at quarterback. We don't know who the quarterback is. They haven't really done much to bolster their roster offensively. They should be decent defensively, But it's still, there's still like more questions than answers offensively and what they're going to look like. So we don't know what New England's going to look like. And then with Miami, Miami has been, they have had the role kind of paved out for them over the past couple of years to actually win, to actually overtake the Bills and win a division, but they haven't done it. Plus, I like Tua a lot. He's been a lot better than what a lot of people would have thought coming, you know, in this situation in Miami. But there's a clear ceiling. There's a clear, defined ceiling with Tua, right? You can be a great regular season team with Tua as your quarterback. But as it gets colder and inclement weather, we have seen Tua just not look like the same guy. And on a field with Josh Allen and Tua Tagovailoa, Josh Allen is the better player. And Miami knows it. Buffalo knows it. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Miami still got some question marks defensively as well. They lost Vic Fangio. They, you know, they lost Christian Wilkinson. They lost some guys on defense as well. So with Buffalo, granted, yes. Did they lose some? They lost some key veterans and on that secondary. Yes. They lost their number one receiver in Stephon Diggs. Yes. But they still have Josh Allen. And I know people like, well, Josh Allen hasn't won anything. Okay. He hasn't won anything. You guys know how I get about that. He hasn't won anything shit. You guys know how I get about that. But Josh Allen is still one of, if not the best, like, granted, I mean, when I'm talking about quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, he's on his own level. He's in his own stratosphere, his own planet. But when it comes down to Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, I mean, any given Sunday, those three guys they're the second best quarterbacks in football. Any given Sunday. If you pick the right Sunday, you watch Lamar look like the second best quarterback in football. If you get a healthy Joe Burrow, he sometimes looks like the second best quarterback in football. And then Josh Allen, he sometimes, you watch a certain game, he may be the second best quarterback in football. So at best, Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in football. At worst, he's the fourth best quarterback in football at worst. So, I mean, with Buffalo, and we've seen it, this is a copycat league. And I'm not saying Josh Allen is Patrick Mahomes, but just 2 years ago, the Kansas City Chiefs did something really similar where they had a high-end premium receiver who's still really, really damn good. But they was like, little pricey, too expensive. We'll move on. We'll trade you. We'll move on. Right? That was Tyreek Hill. Generational talent. Tyreek Hill, generational talent. Chiefs moved off of him. 2 years later, two Super Bowls later, the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls since moving off of Tyreek Hill. So, and I'm not saying Buffalo, they're going to do the same thing. But I think Buffalo as an organization, I feel like they're comfortable with the fact that, like, hey, we have Josh Allen. He's an MVP caliber quarterback. Like I said, at worst, he's the fourth best quarterback in the league. At best, he's the second best quarterback in the league. And I feel like Buffalo, they feel like they're confident where, you know, they got the kid Shakur. He came along. They got Dalton Kincaid. They got James Cook. They can draft the receiver. All we hear about in this draft is how loaded the receiver, how deep this receiver class is in this draft. So they can draft the receiver and they can go from there. They can get some young, inexpensive, hungry guys and they can just go from there, right? I think that's Buffalo's thought process. That's Buffalo's thought process. Now, like I said, I think the Bills are still the team to beat in the AFC East. You look at their division, there's no team in their division where you like, I feel confident. I like Mike McDaniel a lot. I really, really do. I like Mike McDaniel as an offensive mind. I love him. But Tua, his quarterback is a liability. His quarterback has a defined ceiling. And that's okay. But when we're talking about in these big time games, these massive games, time and time again, that defined ceiling comes into play. The same, with the Jets, still some question marks. They got a lot. They got some older guys, the mixture with some young guys. I don't even know if the Jets coaching staff is all that good. I don't know. I feel like there's more questions than answers. And then with New England, I don't know what the hell they're doing offensively. Their defense should be decent, but I don't know what on God's green earth they're doing defensively. I don't know. So we'll see what New England does. And so I think as an organization, that's the Bills. That's the thought process. Now we move on to Houston. The Texans just got a whole lot better. And it goes to show you how it works in the NFL. One year, in almost a calendar year, the Texans have gone from the laughingstock of the league, one of the worst teams in the league, to one of the premier teams in a loaded AFC. And it goes to show that's how fast things can turn around, right? It wasn't that long ago where Houston was dealing with all of the Deshaun Watson drama. They finally moved off of him. They obviously had Lovie Smith. They had David Culley, right? Wasn't that long ago. It was not that long ago where Houston was in that predicament. And they were, like I said, one of the worst teams in the league and a laughingstock. But then, I always tell you guys, first, when you hit a home run, you check the box for coach, quarterback, you can figure out the rest. you can, it's really easy to figure out the rest. And that's what Houston has done. They checked the box, they hit a home run hire in D'Amico Ryans, and with the number two overall pick, they drafted C.J. Stroud. And C.J. Stroud had one of the best rookie quarterback seasons that we've seen in league history. Right? They weren't projected to win their division, get to the playoff. That was not in the cards for Houston. But coach quarterback take you a long way. You hired the right coach, draft the right quarterback, develop the right quarterback. That's what you get. You can go from being bad, you go from being worse to first really quickly in NFL. It's just the way how it's set up, right? Because usually bad teams, obviously, they get higher picks, right? They've acquired picks with the Deshaun Watson trade. We're going to look back at that and like, man, that Deshaun Watson trade was huge. And it right now it looks very, very, really, 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 really one-sided. Really one-sided in terms of what Houston has gotten back in exchange. And look at the output that Deshaun Watson has given to Cleveland. It's very one-sided. And then also, yeah, by the way, the Texans beat Cleveland in the playoffs. To add a little bit of sauce to that. But then it goes to show you the benefit of having cap flexibility and having high-level players on rookie deals. And that's the thing. People like, man, they got so many players on rookie deals. It's not just about having just rookie deals. You don't want an average player on a rookie deal. Like, okay, cool, fine, sure, yeah. But it's about having high-end quality players on these type of inexpensive rookie deals, right? Like with C.J. Stroud, and granted, it's 1 year. He still got there's a possible thing of sophomore slump, but it's really hard for me to bet against C.J. Stroud, given the fact of what he's working with, Bobby Slowick as his OC, still there, 49er guy, C.J. Stroud, great talent, and he has talent around. It's really hard for me to fathom anyone or a lot of people just betting against him not continuing where he left off last year. That's a hard bet for me to place. So, you look at CJ Stroud, you're not paying him anything, and he's already a top 10 quarterback. Like CJ Stroud is phenomenal. So that's the flexibility that you have with having high level players on these rookie deals, because it gives you the cap flexibility. It gives you the margin for error. It gives you that option to take big swings and load up your roster. Let's see what you can do. Load up your roster. Got your quarterback on a rookie deal. And it's more so your quarterback on a rookie deal, right? You got a quarterback. If you got a stud quarterback on a rookie deal, a high-end defensive end on a rookie deal, right? High-end receiver on a rookie deal. That is the time for you to load up, build around it. And with Houston, like, they trade for Stephon Diggs, right? They've done a good job in free agency over these past couple of years. But then you load up, you get Stephon Diggs, you clean out the years remaining on his contract. So basically, they got a 1-year deal. This could be a 1-year rental. Now, depending on how Stephon Diggs plays, if there is in reality, because I think some people think that Stephon Diggs may have lost a step or two. If that is the case and he truly lost a step or two and he doesn't produce to the level that they can just allow him to hit the market. If he plays well, I'm sure they'll bring him back. But with the cap flexibility, it gives you that wiggle room and that room for error to take big swings. And, you know, it doesn't work. It doesn't hit. You're able to do that because of those rookie deals. Whereas for Buffalo, they got to be a little bit more strategic. Buffalo, they got Josh Allen making a ton of money, right? They got to be a little bit more strategic in their roster building and how they construct their roster, right? So I think in Buffalo's eyes as an organization, a receiver and going into his 30s that may have shown some signs of slippage, and is on a contract year, maybe looking for extension really soon. Maybe we can find a better alternative option, right? Maybe we can find a different option. Kind of hard to work out. Kind of hard to work out with. Kind of wore out his welcome. Maybe we can find an alternate direction to go into, right? But with Houston, you got a young stud quarterback making nothing, right, compared to what his value would actually be, right? He's making nothing. Cheap, inexpensive deal. Why not? Stephon Diggs, productive receiver. Been productive for a long time. Why not? Why not take a flyer? This is a huge move for Houston. And it puts them in a position where they now are in the same tier, or they have positioned themselves. When we ask the question, who can compete with the Chiefs? What AFC team is likely to compete with the Chiefs, or can knock out the Chiefs, or beat the Chiefs? You know, we mentioned Baltimore. We mentioned a healthy Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, rightfully so, has put themselves in that discussion. Houston has put themselves in that tier, in that class of teams. And my whole thing on the Diggs, I know people, I think this is a lot of people's sentiment, a lot of football people, where it's like Diggs may have lost a step, right? Where in Buffalo, as I said, there was a philosophy change in the middle of the season. There was a philosophy change because Stephon Diggs, his last 100-yard game of last season came in October 15th. October 15th was Stephon Diggs' last 100-yard game. So there was a clear difference in philosophy once Joe Brady took over the Buffalo offense. And Diggs was he was excelling in the intermediate and underneath areas, right? But you already had guys like Dalton Kincaid and Shakur and James Cook to exploit that area of the field. And Diggs became irrelevant by the end of the year, right? He became irrelevant. He lost a step as a deep as a deep threat. I think that's a lot of football people's sentiment. He lost a step, so he wasn't as dangerous as a deep threat. Still productive, and there's stats to back it up. Still productive in the intermediate, you know, underneath stuff. But they already had those type of options in Buffalo to exploit that area. So it hindered his numbers. It hindered his production. I think that's a lot of people's sentiment. And he may have lost a step. Now, I'm anxious to see how Stephon Diggs bounced back. But this should be really interesting. This should be really interesting and really fun to watch in Houston. And with Buffalo, as an organization, they're like, hey, we got our star quarterback. We got an MVP caliber quarterback. We feel confident enough. We can just restructure, get some young, inexpensive receivers, and Josh should be on our way. We still got the best quarterback in the division. We still can feel confident that we can win our division. And we got a guy, at best, Josh Allen, you know, any given Sunday, he's the second, third, fourth best quarterback in the league. At worst, he's the fourth best quarterback in the league. That's Buffalo's. I'm assuming that's their thought process as an organization. So that's my take on the Stephon Diggs trade. I wanted to get into some more topics, but I'm gonna cut it off right here. I'll drop another episode this weekend for you guys. I know there were some questions. You guys left some comments and questions, so I'm going to answer those as well. And we'll probably talk a little bit more basketball, a little bit more NFL stuff. It'll be a mixture of NFL, basketball stuff. So, you know, always remember, two choices, one decision. Stay tuned. Make sure you guys are subscribed. You're following the pod. Obviously, as I always tell you guys, recently, you know, leave comments, leave questions. I'll be sure to answer them. The next episode, I will dedicate that to answering some questions and comments that's been left over the past couple of episodes. But I hope you guys enjoyed. Peace, deuces, I'm out.